Welcome to this IFRS Foundation podcast, which will focus on the May meeting of the International Accounting Standards Board. That meeting took place in London on the 14th to the 16th of May 2019. My name is Matt Tilling. I am a member of the technical staff here at the ISB. Today I'm joined by the Chair of the Board, Hans Hoogevorst, and Vice Chair Sue Lloyd to talk through the latest meeting and other developments. Hans, let's start with a governance-related issue, and more specifically, the proposed amendments to the Foundation's Due Process Handbook. Now, just as a reminder, the handbook is a document that sets out the procedures of the standard-setting process.
That's right, and of course the Due Processes Handbook is extremely important to the Board, since it gives us guidelines as to how to do our work and consult with our constituents, among others. The trustees of our foundation periodically review the handbook, and the last substantial review took place in 2013, so it was time for an update. The trustees are carrying out such a review now, and they have proposed some amendments, nothing major, but just to ensure that the due process remains fit for purpose and continues to reflect best practice. The main proposed changes are to update the procedures relating to the use of the effects analysis, something that we have already improved over time, assessing the likely effects of new or amended IFRS standards. And now we'll make it clear in the due process handbook that such analyses take place throughout the standard setting process and not just at the very end. They are also clarifying the role and the status of agenda decisions published by the IFRS Interpretations Committee. That is something that there is not sufficient clarity about what is exactly the status of agenda decisions. And we will make clear that whereas these agenda decisions do not add to IFRS standards, they make clear how IFRS standards should be applied in certain circumstances as brought to the attention of the IFRS Interpretations Committee. The consultation on the proposed amendments ends the 29th of July of this year, and the aim is to publish the revised handbook early in 2020.
Speaking of consultation documents, the Due Process Handbook amendments is not the only one that's up for comment at the moment.
Yes, that's right, Matt. So we just issued an exposure draft that deals with the accounting treatment for arising from the change in interest rate benchmarks, or IBOR reform for short. And really what we're trying to do here is to give a helping hand to preparers during this transition to a new reference rate for, you know, affects many trillions of dollars worth of contracts. And there's a period of uncertainty at the moment while we all wait to see what the final reference rates will look like around the world. So what we've done is propose some amendments both to IFRS 9 and to IAS 39, so the new and the old financial instrument standards. And what we're looking at is some specific relief from some of the forward-looking hedge accounting requirements that could otherwise have resulted in the discontinuation of hedge accounting solely because of the uncertainty arising from this interest rate benchmark reform. Now, this reflects the first stage of our work. We split the project into two parts. So in this first phase, as I said, we wanted to deal with the issues that might affect people in this period before their contracts are actually amended because of the uncertainty. As we get more information about what the replacement rates will actually look like, the board's going to assess any potential accounting implications of the actual change in the rates and contracts, and we'll determine whether we need to take any further action. And we call that stage two of the IBOR project.
Thanks, Sue. Hans, let's turn to the board meeting this month, and let's start with insurance. There was just some final issues discussed before the exposure draft is prepared and issued.
That's right. The board discussed four smaller technical issues that it needed to finalise, and now the staff will prepare the exposure draft of proposed amendments that will be published at the end of June 2019. We also decided to set a comment period of 90 days. That is relatively short, but we feel that is justified as people want to get on with implementation, and most of the amendments should help insurers in getting the implementation done more quickly. The decision to go for 90 days was approved by the Due Process Oversight Committee on the 23rd of April.
Sue, the board discussed the disclosure initiative, specifically the targeted standard level review of disclosure.
That's right. Those of you with good memories might remember that we chose two standards to test out a new approach to trying to draft our disclosure requirements with the objective of trying to improve quality of the actual disclosures provided in financial statements. And the two standards that we chose to look at the disclosure requirements for was an quite old standard, IAS 19 Employee Benefits, and a relatively new one, IFRS 13 Fair Value Measurement. And for the last 6 months or so, the staff and a number of board members have been undertaking outreach with stakeholders to talk about these disclosure requirements. And in particular, they've spent a lot of time with investors and analysts using the financial statements to learn about what disclosures they actually need about employee benefits and fair value measurements and how they'll use that information. They've also talked to preparers about the costs of the information, but a lot of the time has been spent with investors. So what we talked about at this month's meeting was really an analysis of the feedback and the recommendations that came back from that outreach. Based on that discussion, the board has tentatively decided to explore whether we should look at disclosure of slightly different information about employee benefits that would more effectively meet the needs of stakeholders than the current requirements that we have in IAS 19. And on fair value measurement, what we're going to focus on in particular is whether we can find ways to help preparers to make better materiality assessments when they work out exactly what it is that is really necessary to disclose about fair value measurements. So lots of interesting discussion ahead, but it's a good test case for how we might approach the drafting of disclosure requirements.
Hans, the board looked at the staff's approach to revising IFRS practice statement number one, which was management commentary.
Yes, the board noted that the revision of the practice statement is intended to promote preparation of management commentary. So that is basically the narrative of the annual report in a way that better meets the needs of the primary users of financial reports by providing better guidance that consolidates innovations in narrative reporting, such as, for example, sustainability reporting and integrated reporting, and that while it should remain principle-based, that it should also contain sufficient detail to support its rigorous application. We feel that the current management practice statement is a bit too high level, and we need to be a bit more clear about the guidance that we give. The next step for the board is to discuss how the qualitative characteristics of useful financial information, which are mentioned in our conceptual framework, how they apply in preparing management commentary in the light of its objective.
Sue, one of the projects that came to the board this month, and it was an education session on rate-regulated activities.
Yeah, so what we did at this session was that the staff brought us a series of paper that really provided a summary and overview of the principles underlying the accounting model that we've been developing for regulatory assets and regulatory liabilities that arise when entities are subject to what we call defined rate-regulated supply of goods and services. And it was really, I think, an opportunity in the education session for the board to raise points about the summary of the model in preparation for more decision-making moving forward. I found it a really interesting overview, and I think for those who are interested in this project, this month's papers are a really good source of information to really see it all pulled together in one place. So if rate regulation is your thing, I really recommend that you go and take a look at those board papers.
Hans, there was quite a long discussion on the goodwill and impairment project. First, the board looked at disclosure for business combinations.
Yes, by the way, there are long discussions about goodwill accounting all around the world, since there is no obviously right answer to treat goodwill in accounting. But the topic that we spent a lot of time discussing was how to identify better disclosures for business combinations and about the extent to which they attain the goals that are strived for when companies acquire other companies. So the board discussed further analysis of the potential improvements to the disclosure objectives and disclosure requirements of IFRS 3 in response to feedback from the April 2019 board meeting.
And the second issue discussed was relief from the mandatory annual impairment test.
Yes. So another objective of the project is to simplify the accounting for goodwill. As most people know, the annual impairment test is a costly affair. We discussed possibilities of giving potential relief from the mandatory annual quantitative impairment test. For example, by removing the requirement to carry out an annual quantitative impairment test for goodwill when there is no indicator that impairment indeed exists. We also discussed whether it would be possible to apply the same relief to intangible assets with indefinite useful lives and intangible assets not yet available for use as goodwill.
Sue, the final topic for today is the review of the IFRS for SMEs standard.
Yes, so we had, I think, quite a long and, I thought, interesting discussion on IFRS for SMEs. And the board affirmed its previous decision that we should publish a request for information to get views from our stakeholders on whether, and if so, how we should amend the IFRS for SME standards, particularly to look at the extent to which we should align that document with the full IFRS standards, particularly looking at the new standards that aren't currently included within the IFRS for SMEs document. So the board decided that we should go through quite a sort of methodical process to decide the extent to which we should align particular standards with the IFRS for SMEs and apply three principles of making that assessment. So whether it's relevant for SMEs, whether there's possibilities to simplify the main IFRS standard on a particular topic, and then looking at whether, given the simplifications, whether it still gives a faithful representation, and to go through a sort of orderly process to look at candidates for inclusion. Now, it's quite a tricky balance. On one side, you know, it's sort of nice to have as much alignment as possible between the big book and the IFRS for SMEs. On the other hand, we're conscious of not causing too much disruption for those that are using the IFRS for SMEs standards, so getting that balance right is really important. But we think we have a robust process and way of thinking through it, and we're hoping that we'll be able to pull together a request for information that gives enough specificity that interested parties will get a good opportunity in understanding what we think and to give us feedback on the extent to which we should update that document. And that then subsequently would go on to the development of an exposure draft of proposed changes.
Thank you, Hans and Sue, and thank you to our listeners. Any feedback on these podcasts, please email communications@ifrs.org. The full summary of the board's discussion and decisions at the May meeting can be found in the ISB update on the IFRS Foundation's website. You can also subscribe to receive new episodes as they become available on iTunes. We look forward to talking with you all again soon.